It is Thursday, the 10th of January, 2013, and this is episode 146 of Digital Outbox. What a way to start the year. Hello, I'm Chris. I'm hosting today and I am joined by Ian.
Good evening, Christopher.
How's it going?
It's all going good.
This new sprangly new year, well, it's not quite so. It's a bit dust covered now already.
It's just been grey. It's been like nine days of grey here.
I know. A car without a roof is not good in weather like this.
Yeah. But you've got your Biggles cup.
Oh, yeah. My sister gave me a nice little Christmas present of my Biggles cap. It's great. I haven't tried it in anger yet, though, because, again, it's been wet. One day.
I look forward to the video evidence.
Yes. I'll make sure I put it up somewhere.
Because I do hope the flaps do vibrate and flap a little in the wind.
Like little dog ears.
Yeah.
And I'm back on the Fitbit bandwagon.
Really?
Yes. So, having seen everybody tweeting out for the past 6 months about how they just lost their Fitbit, and then Fitbit came back and said, "We'll give you a new one." Finally, you cried to Fitbit on my behalf. I wrote them a nice letter, and they've sent me a new Fitbit.
You are like the kind of the typical Englishman that will never complain.
Yeah, I really was. But as soon as I wrote them a nice story about how I lost my Fitbit Ultra, and they sent me a new one, which is really good.
At this point, I should do the Simon Bates. Probably we should get that letter and read it out.
It was too long.
To a bit of outro music.
I'll show you at some point. It was amazing. I was proud of my
back in 2011.
Yeah,
I was so desperate to get a Fitbit, I imported one from America. When it came through, I jumped for joy.
Yeah, honestly, you'll love it. I'll send it to you another time. But let's get on with some news. We've got CES going on at the moment, which I think we both agree is one of those shows which is massive, but somehow always leaves you. It's not an announcement of new stuff, really. It's just, here's technology, and here's what we've released, kind of, that we told you we're going to release a while back.
Or here's what we said last year, and we'll announce it this year, still with no date.
Yeah.
So here's an OLED screen, and I know we keep saying OLED's coming, but honestly, it is.
They've kind of moved on a bit from 3D. Now 3D is just one of the extra features that a set has. They seem to be going to humongous TVs with 4K resolution rather than 1080p, even though most things aren't available in 4K yet.
No.
So you're buying a TV set to upscale your high-def content on.
Sony were the only ones to actually say they'll distribute 4K, and they've actually got 12 or 14 pieces of movie content that have been done in 4K, but they also said they're going to stream it. And it's like, hold on, you can't even stream 1080p just now without hollowed artifacts. Yeah. What the hell's 4K going to be like?
And they've got no storage media to put it on either, because Blu-ray won't be able to... I can't remember, is it something along the lines of 36 gigabytes of data or something for a 4K movie? So we've got no storage media that can do it, and streaming definitely can't do it.
Oh, hold on. A Blu-ray movie, if you get a proper rip, it's like 25 gig. And this is like four times the resolution.
So I could be just quoting it wrong. It's probably like 130 gig then. But you know, you're not going to be streaming that. We're already not streaming high def because of, like, as you say, we've not got the network. And anything that comes down as 4K is going to be so compressed that it's probably not worth being 4K anyway.
And all TVs were just they looked the same, massive, no border, and really horrible UIs tacked onto them.
Yeah, that's the latest thing, isn't it? Just whack a UI that has to be used with a horrible remote control. I think Samsung have just about make the best one at the moment, their hub.
Yeah, Samsung's press conference. I don't know if you were going to mention it, but that was like the best hour of here's everything. And they rattled through like hundreds of devices, and I was following it, like watching The Verge, and then they says, right, we're now going to start talking about fridges and microwaves, and I was like, yeah, they're ripping it now. And sure enough, the guy come on and started talking about Evernote built into his fridge.
Yeah, they're loving it at the moment. I mean, so they're making some great products, but they are a bit all pervasive, aren't they? They're a bit like LG, same kind of thing.
Mm.
So what have we seen? I guess one of the biggest announcements that caught the attention of the tech community is the NVIDIA's Project Shield.
it's just so badly named.
Yeah, so this is effectively, if you can imagine for yourself an Xbox controller with a screen attached to the front of it, this will allow mobile gaming via streaming from your PC. So your own internal network, as long as you've got an NVIDIA graphics card on board, you'll be able to stream your content down to this little device, so wherever you've got it in your house. And they reckon they've got the technology to enable that to happen. So it's like handheld size, but with PC graphical fidelity.
And they said it won't be cheap. They will make money from the hardware, and it's not going to work.
You know, I was all ready to say this is what's the point and all that, but then our mate Bomb Dogs, he's quite up for it.
I'm recording, you know,
he
says, now.
He's mad.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. But he said it would just fit in with what he wants to do, which is, you know, means he can get into the lounge and still play games without just being stuck in his little back office all the time.
I think there's more than a niche. I think there is a community.
That could be tricky. Probably,
it's maybe a community, but that's a niche of a niche still.
Yeah.
I think it's. I don't think you could call it anything but a niche.
That's right.
But yeah. It depends how much it's going to cost. If it costs, you know, as much as a small computer, what's the point?
I was seeing some estimates of $400.
Hold on one cotton-picking moment. We've got someone joining us. Who could that be? Surely there's no one else. Henry's managed to join us. Hello, Henry.
Hello there.
Long time no hear.
Yes, happy new year to you both.
Oh, happy new year, good sir.
I think you'll just have to catch up with us, Henry, so we're just going to crack on through.
The most important bit you've missed is, like, Pikey Crest managed to get a Fitbit for free after losing his.
and Ian, you've not managed to get one for free having broken yours.
No, I've actually got a spare Fitbit if you want one. But we'll talk about this later.
Now let's talk about it now, because Fitbit at CES have
you're good.
Oh, what a link.
That's Fitbit seamless. Flex. Absolutely seamless. Effectively, it's like a basic Fitbit, but it sits around your wrist and hopefully means that you don't actually end up losing it quite like I lost mine. Sounds like a good idea, but it doesn't come with all the latest features, so it's a bit of a backward step, really.
I just thought it was like, it's the Nike.
Yeah.
Plus type thing, and it was on your wrist. Yeah, it's all that nonsense. And for a lot of people, they did forget to put it in the pocket or clip it on, or it dropped out of their pocket when they're at Silverstone swigging some beer. So, I mean, clearly it's going to be good for those type of people.
Yeah, and sort of there was a kind of trend during CES of lots of these kind of fitness trackers and scales and stuff like that. Withings have come out and pretty much released a Fitbit. And there's something called the Fitbug, not to be really confused with the Fitbit, but they all do the same thing really, which is glorified pedometer with kind of linking back to the net.
The one that I did get laughed at, but there's a new version of my Withing scale which does it will also monitor your heartbeat and also the CO2 levels in the room that you're in.
That's right. Does it attribute the CO2 levels to a particular individual? You know, who's breathing the most hot air?
Is it in your bathroom, and have you just let one go?
That's even better.
You may have trouble sleeping.
It's when it tweets that, though. That's a bit embarrassing, isn't it?
This person needs rescuing. Come to his address.
I'm just thinking,
or Ian's just let one go. That would be even worse.
No, I'm thinking. Tweet healthy stool.
There's no end to how far you can take this, though, is there? Really?
Yeah, I think there should be an end to this, though. The mystical pebble. Apparently, I should draw the listeners back to the. We talked about the pebble because it was a Kickstarter project. effectively a watch that you could program. And Ian went all excited and goo-goo over it, and now he's going to get one on the shipping on the 23rd of January.
Seemingly, I am number 21,000. Brian was able to tell me this last night. I was like, how the hell do you know when I ordered it? He says, well, there's a way of looking it up. So so he's 30,000, I'm 20,000. So I guess in February sometime, I'll get my Pebble watch. I'm slightly tainted by Shaq saying it looks like it came out of a Kinder Egg.
Kinder Egg.
And I must admit, I took a look at today and thought, I think the software's going to be mighty fine. Kinder.
Probably got less apps than the Pi Store. We'll come on to that in a minute. Right. We've talked about TV. So phones was the other, you know, obviously phones are big right now. We're not going to summarize everything that got released at CES because tons of handsets get looked at and reviewed or whatever. But effectively, the trend was for massive, goddamn massive screens with high resolutions, basically. So there's like this trend for 5 to 6 inch screens on a phone, although they're calling them phablets, which I'm not sure I like.
With a pH. I mean, that's just terrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think the 5 inch phones are kind of slightly big, and maybe you can get away with it. 6 inch, but it's ridiculous. I mean, the Nexus is 7.
Yeah.
And you just look at it and think, I look a big enough tube already with the amount of gadgets. Mm. But to hold that up to your ear is just ridiculous.
Well, yes. Do you know, I mean, it's also just the tablets and things as well. I was over in Edinburgh just before New Year for the torch walk, and there was somebody there in the crowd with their iPad or you know, taking video, and they looked really stupid. This massive tablet sitting there, you know, trying to pan round and things.
We all thought it was going to be really ridiculous, but people seem to be quite happy to do it. I've seen loads of it around.
The best camera you've got is the one that's with you.
Yeah, whatever. Surface Pro. This is Microsoft Surface, but effectively full fat Windows. They've been releasing lots of tablets around that kind of basis. Sort of these converting tablets as well that can be used sort of for more attached.
But the Surface Pro is like the kind of next. So they did the Surface, you know, a couple of months back. Surface Pro is the kind of proper one that runs proper Windows, and it's got two fans in it, which I find is slightly disturbing. It just feels like it's going to be holding up a laptop. but the early kind of feedback is that it's a lot slicker than the Surface RT,
which is good. But they need to move it a long way forward as far as the, you know, just the user experience still, I believe. I would still hold off. If you're thinking about getting one, I'd still hold off for another month or two just to see what happens.
So CES at some point, I'd love to go just to actually go and see the madness.
Yeah.
But it is a bit of a fail, ultimately, when you look at all this stuff. It's just like, ugh.
It's great as just a way of summarising what everything is at the moment, but I don't think it's a great way of future looking necessarily. We've had some bad news in the UK as far as some stores go. So Jessop's, camera retailer from the high street, been around for years, has gone into receivership, or gone into administration. And also Play.com, they've decided they're no longer going to be their own retailer. They're going to just be a marketplace to sell other people's stuff.
Jessop's not a surprise. Play.com, I was slightly surprised at, because they were like the kind of big Amazon rival.
Yeah.
And, it's...
But since the new rules about Jersey and Guernsey and avoiding VAT got changed, they've now argued that they cannot sustain it anymore.
Yep.
So that's pretty much all the jobs from Play.com going, except for in their marketplace.
And I don't know about you, but I'm always a bit reticent to buy things from the marketplace than from them direct, you know? Things are going. It's the same with Amazon as well. You see stuff in the marketplace and you're like, is this... It just doesn't have the same, you know, kudos or you know, just the benefit of the security.
I've been happy with like Amazon and stuff since you try it a few times, and most of the time it works okay. And you still got the kind of backing of Amazon to kick butt if they get things wrong. But there you go. Another story that happened over the break when we were away. So just to fill you in the details, the hacky hacker Gary McKinnon is not going to. He avoided facing extradition, and now he's been told that he won't face UK charges either. So it kind of puts the 10-year story to an end, really.
And fair play to Theresa May and Conservatives and the current government. I did not think they would do this. I thought he was going to be sent back into America and dealt with there. So fair play.
They've generally been making some fairly sensible decisions recently, which is pretty amazing.
There was three or four just before Christmas, which I know you're just going to go and cover. That were like,
They've actually come out to the right conclusion. So internet porn, we talked about it, automatic blocking on computers and stuff, and ISPs automatic blocking. Well, they said, no, that's not going to happen. What I have said is that they may well have a system on new computers which ask the user to step through a kind of, you know, a wizard process which says, are you an adult? Do you have children in your house? Would you like porn? Pretty much. And
I'd love that to be in that accent.
Would you like porn on your computer?
You could be the new voice of Siri with that.
The default is to turn it off, is their kind of plan at the moment. There's, you know, effectively there's been a lot of research done into it, and they reckon that a lot of parents want it.
What a research that would have been.
Mm-hmm.
What do you research? Internet porn.
Yeah, and you know, you're going to ask people in the street, then of course a lot of people are going to say no when they really want to say yes. And
just on that, because out of the three of us, Henry's the only one with family here, so
yeah.
And, I wonder where we're going with that.
all I would say is that you know, I how do you follow that? No.
Yeah. How do you answer this question?
I do want my kids to be safe online, and I don't want them finding stuff accidentally. In fact, I don't want them to find it even when they go looking for it. But so if there's you know, parental controls, absolutely, and I do want to you know, I do sign up for that and take
but
those precautions.
Is it? Do you think is it opt-in thing? It's your responsibility, or is it the responsibility of PC makers to force you into it? Really, that's the thing. Is it your responsibility or not?
Well, I think it is. I think there's a responsibility on both. We need to kind of work that out. So, the thing is that obviously technologically it's really quite you can't block everything, so you need to encourage a level of responsibility, and you can't just you can't just block everything. I don't think that's gonna work, but you need to use all the options that are available. So I think PC manufacturers, if there are things that they can do for you to opt in, then that should be available. I think it should be something that you do opt into if possible, rather than trying to opt out.
There you go. News from a family man.
And you see, that was a whole lot safer than what you initially thought I was going to launch into.
Yes.
So thanks for doubting me.
another seemingly very good decision. They have decided, or prosecutors will, they're clarifying the, oh God, I've stumbled over this, haven't I? Basically, you can say a lot more on the internet now without fear of being taken to court. But they've slackened the rules on what constitutes something that will cause a legal procedure to be started. Which all seems very sensible. We've been touching on all these silly things that have been happening recently about people getting taken to court over Twitter posts and stuff. And they're just saying, you know, the balance of proof or evidence has to be quite a lot higher now than it used to be.
And I think what they liked was they seemed to be focusing on when something's clearly either a mistake, you know, somebody's young, drunk, or drugs, you know, and they are apologetic, and they make that apology online and they do it in court, etc. You know, it'll be a lot less the kind of silly, you know, prosecutions that we've seen. But they've also said, actually, but if you have done something and it has been deliberate and nasty, and you are, you know, hounding somebody and it's offensive and indecent, we're actually going to punish you a bit harder. You know,
yeah.
So I think that's all good.
Sounded sensible. when I read it. You know, well, again, these are all kind of a bit loose at the moment. I don't think the full detail is understood yet. But there you go. Some good.
And that is the thing with this, isn't it? It is actually, you know, we've talked about this a lot on the podcast in the past, but it is really difficult to work out, you know, when things are, you know, things that you would just say to a small audience, the same kind of things if you say online could have a much bigger audience, and it's actually, you know, it is about time that the law caught up with people's with the way people are acting online. So,
but it's also important that people understand their place in the new landscape. You know, things like these super injunctions and stuff, people are going to have to get clued up that they will get into trouble if they start breaking super injunctions and stuff like that. So they need to be careful. There was one more decision actually that I forgot we covered on, which is giving consumers more copyright freedom. So all these silly little cases about, you know, infringement of copyright when people are putting YouTube parodies and stuff like that, they're all loosening off now. And you're allowed to copy all your content to your own devices and private cloud and things. So if you legitimately buy some music, you can copy it onto your cloud, and that won't come under legal. You won't be breaking the law by doing it.
All I can say about that is sensible. Finally,
yes,
it's amazing that kind of law was still kicking around for so long.
Whether there's still, I mean, I don't know what ripping stuff off of physical media. I don't know whether that's all covered, but you would have thought it would be now.
Yeah,
hopefully. The proxy we talked about for Pirate Bay has also been shut down due to a legal threat came in, so they've shut it. This was someone getting around the Pirate Bay proxy by a proxy, and they've now shut that proxy down.
And to be fair, I mean the site went to the site went from, you know, it was ranked 2000s in the UK, it went to like 147, you know, so this proxy was getting more hits than Netflix, Huffington Post and the NHS. So right. It was fairly popular.
Yeah.
but it should be pointed out that, you know, it's like most of these things, there's hundreds of proxies out there.
Yeah.
It's if you want it, dead easy to go and find.
Music industry. Yeah, and if you lost battle, I think.
Yes, I mean, if you don't know how to find it, then ask any 8-year-old near you that we'll work it for you.
Or you could do what Shaq did. He asked me, so that's maybe the equivalent of asking an 8-year-old.
This next story, we've been waiting a long time to talk some Raspberry Pi, because it's been that long since we've had Henry on board who's got one and who's done very exciting things with it. But let's just cover quickly the story. So they're releasing an app store basically for your Raspberry Pi, which has a total of, well, I can't find the figure now, something like 26 apps in it so far, 23 titles on the store, and it's up to you. You can submit apps and programs to the store, and they will go through a moderation and approval process. But more importantly, how is the Pi?
The Pi is great. The Pi I have now installed so that it opens my garage door when I phone it.
So you phone the Pi?
I phone the Pi. In fact, I don't know if you can hear this, but this is what it sounds like when I try and phone my Pi. It says
this is riveting stuff.
Raspy. And my garage door is opening as we speak.
Letting in the hordes to go and nick all your stuff while you're...
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'll remind you at the end of the podcast to close it.
Yeah, which is... That's good stuff.
I mean, I've got a couple of colleagues that have got Raspberry Pis and they love them. They're using them as for Xbox Media Center and for streaming. And they are...
Oh, okay.
Superb. You know, they've paid their 25, 30 quid. I think they've paid £8 for a little Wi-Fi add-on module. You know, maybe bought a little SD card. And that's about it. And they're away. It's an amazing bit of kit.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. And of course, the new version A's are coming out, which take much less power and don't have the Ethernet port. So you can do all sorts of funny things with those. But we'll save that for another podcast.
When you're next back. Right, we've had a bit of a switch around in how handset manufacturers, phone and handset manufacturers, can actually, where it's their price changing. Ofcom have come along and said, we don't like the way you keep changing your prices on what, you know, the consumers are understanding that they sign up for a monthly contract and it's going to be fixed. But the handset manufacturers have been tweaking it, basically, and effectively they're allowed to raise their prices because of the small print. So Ofcom have come and said, we don't like this, and we're thinking of actually stopping you doing that and giving the consumer options to bail out should you put prices up at all. And the handset manufacturers are kind of going, can't do that because part of the cost is the handset. The other half is the actual service cost, which we want to be able to increase to cover our own costs. And they're kind of saying, well, we're not going to be able to subsidize handsets anymore if you do this. That's the story.
but that's completely nonsense, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is basically all that happens is they then have to say, well, if we're not allowed to increase the prices and it's a 2-year contract, then you know you get a two year contract. So any subsidy is based on the fact that it's for 2 years. So
and the only risk to them is that if their operating costs shoot up for whatever reason, because the cost of the handset, they'll have bought that up front. So, but nevertheless, I think users will, you know, we'll see that I think the upfront costs of handsets will go up because of this, because they don't want to take on that risk.
And I guess I had a little cynical side of me that thought, is this just convenient timing? Because the amount of people that do go and buy, I mean, if you'd said to me 6 years ago, every couple of years you'll spend £600 in a phone, I would have called you a fool, because you were always looking at, oh, there's a new Sony Ericsson for £100. I'll have that. And that was about the kind of price you were paying for it, plus your monthly contract. I think the market has changed. And yeah, also we're seeing things like Nexus 4, you know, for, was it £240?
Yeah, something ridiculously low.
You know, and it's...
if you can get hold of one, of course, from the Google's Play Store.
I think what's more likely is we're going to see maybe a more realistic bill, which tells you, which has a part of the bill which shows you what your phone handset monthly cost is, which will be fixed, I guess, and the service charge for the actual calls, which can be variable by, you know, a defined amount, whether that's the, you know, inflation or whatever. I think that's probably what will end up happening, and it's probably a more honest bill anyway. So you know that really you're just getting a handset on loan until the end of your contract. I think that's what's going to end up happening. Ian, you want to laugh at Ubuntu on Android?
Yeah, Ubuntu's launching its own operating system for Android.
Which, yeah, Android is an operating system. It's a bit bizarre, isn't it?
I don't know. And I mean, I don't know if any of you guys looked at the demo. It just looked like, I mean, so it was a unique take on how to do an OS. There was lots of gesture-driven controls, but it all looked, depending on where you were, it was different gestures. And
yeah,
it just
makes
looked,
any sense.
No, I just looked at it and thought, no, it just doesn't look like anything that's going to work.
That was always
Windows Phone 8 on Android.
Yeah, that was always the problem with that Microsoft preview, you know, that double-screened, I can't remember what they called it, the playbook, I can't remember what they ended up calling it.
Oh, the scribe that they talked about doing.
Yeah, whatever it was, which looked amazing in previews when you saw all these people just using gestures and stuff. But then if you actually sat down and tried to work out when to do a gesture when, it was impossible. It was, you know, it wasn't intuitive at all. It was just, it was all pie in the sky, which is why it never came to fruition. If you haven't got anything consistent, it's not going to work, is it? Anyway, Ubuntu on Android.
I think some of the iOS apps and Android apps that I've been playing with recently, a lot of them are adding in gestures, but they don't tell you what it is.
No,
either you don't find it, or you kind of play around and think, what is it again? And you're, before you know it, you're retweeting or favouriting something. Yeah. You're like, no, I didn't want to do that. I wanted to.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yes,
it's when intuition turns into just silly.
A bit like what we talked about right at the start with Project Shield. This just looks like total fail. Ballsy, but total.
But you know, it's a bit of geeky fun there. You can turn your phone into whatever you like. It's effectively, you know, turning it into an operating system that's open and stuff. Anyway, iOS Do Not Disturb bug as well. You touched on over the new year.
Yeah, I use Do Not Disturb all the time. It was one of the, I think that's the only thing in iOS 6 that it brought for me, which shows you, tells you everything about iOS 6.
It does.
But unfortunately, on the 1st of Jan, it kind of failed and didn't switch off for 7 days. Which was A, embarrassing, and B, also timed nicely for the brand new advert on the 1st of January, which says, look at this Do Not Disturb feature we've got, which if you're enabled today, won't work.
It won't do anything. Never mind.
Yes. So, and it's gone now. So seemingly they were using a year with lowercase yyyy instead of uppercase yyyy, so they had a date bug. No, what I did laugh at, see the amount of people, and I guess it's an indication of who I follow on Twitter, but I've got a lot of Apple fanboys. They loved it when the Nexus had a bug that December didn't appear in a date picker, and they kept on saying Google can't even do dates now, and look at that, wah, 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 wah. See when this happened. But remember, everybody, dates are hard.
My aunt actually found an iOS date bug, which the genius is in the genius bar. I couldn't figure they had to submit a bug report. It was some particular date that if you put a recurring event in, crashed calendars on.
Well, if you want another bug, fire up iCal on your iPad and swipe to March and watch it crash.
Oh, maybe that was what it is, but that was only if you had a recurring event in on a particular day in March. Like the 14th of March.
So I can swipe to February, and then when I swipe to March, crash.
That's it. So that's because you've got a recurring event on one particular day in that. There you go.
Damn you, Steve Jobs.
Yeah, damn you. Google have launched YouTube Capture on iOS. What's all that about?
It allows you to capture video and upload it to YouTube.
There you go. Amazing.
Well-named app then, eh?
But it does image stabilization, does color correction.
So it's enhanced over and above just capturing video using the iPhone, whatever.
Yes.
Okay.
And I guess the thing that's surprising is you can't get this in Android. So it's another one of these kind of Google apps that have come out that's actually... I see if you look at the range of apps on iOS now from Google, I think they're stronger than Android, and I've got both platforms and I can play with them. They are really good.
It is almost, I made a joke about this before Christmas, but it's almost like they have these fads almost, and they concentrate on Android just around Google I.O. And then shortly afterwards, that's them done on their Android stuff. They eventually release the stuff they talked about during I.O., and then they just go and do iOS. And this is like the iOS time of year. And eventually we'll come back to an Android time of year. It's almost like they just sweep from one thing to the other. They don't do things in parallel, it seems.
But it's amazing. When I look at them, just find out front page of my phone now is most of the Apple apps are now gone.
Even though the only reason they stay is because they're integrated on the API.
Well, it's because you can't get rid of them.
No. They're in the folder called iPhone apps on the back screen. But I'm using Chrome, I'm using Google Search, I'm using Google Maps. It's all good.
And our final story for today, Microsoft killed off Messenger.
Yep.
I know, but
that needs a sad sound.
I mean, they say they're killing off Messenger, but you get Skype instead.
Yeah, which is obviously a step forward, even though it doesn't work. Anyway, they've killed off Messenger however many years after they bought Skype for whatever it was, $8.5 billion.
So 2 years ago, they paid $8.5 billion.
Yeah. Messenger, I can't say I've used it in years, and I guess that's why no one does.
No, because most of it's either done through Google or it's through, for me, it's through iMessage.
Yeah, well, for me, the problem with Messenger was that I was always getting spammed.
Yes.
Just constant spam. And it was, you're constantly blocking things, and it was just unusable, really.
You can be pretty sure that recently there's been no one on there to spam you.
No, I'm pretty sure I am being spammed, but I'm not on there to see it.
Okay, fair enough.
I ended up, I think I still used it, maybe like 3-4 years ago, because there was like one or two people left on it. I know it was that kind of thing, and most others were, I could get another way. Yeah. It was always that rogue one.
Facebook's kind of taken over for, you know, contacting family and, like I say, Skype and Google Plus for doing everything else you need to do.
Yeah, exactly.
I do like, I actually really like Google Plus at the moment.
Yeah, it's good. Just a shame not more people use it.
Communities, I'm finding the communities really good.
That's the end of our news for this week. I'll lay the floor open. Has anyone got a pick?
Yeah, I had a pick. I mean,
go on then.
I've had a pick for, actually, I put it in, oh, maybe I put it in the other thing. It's called iRunner. It's a free app or a freemium app for iPhone. And I've got into running over the last few months, and I was using Runkeeper, which I really like, and got to the stage really where I didn't want to use another app because I'd kind of lose all the data and things that I'd used put into Runkeeper. So all the history and stuff. So iRunner will connect to all those different services. Runkeeper is one of them. And so you can share all sorts of things. The other things that it'll do is it will email details of your run or fitness activity to your an email address, including like the map details and all that kind of good stuff. And you can also connect to your Fitbits or your Withing scales or any of the other kind of fitness devices. You might have heart rate monitors, that kind of thing. A lot of them are, they want to charge you money to connect to those. But the Fitbit and the Withing scales, you can connect to your account for free.
So what benefit do you gain over and above, you know, the just using Runkeeper then? Because I thought Runkeeper did similar things.
It does do similar things, but what this does better for me is that the stats are better, the graphs are better, and the you just get more information, really, than you get on Runkeeper. And, of course, by syncing the data back to Runkeeper, I'm not losing anything in Runkeeper either. So it's
yes,
still...
Yes, so you've got the data everywhere you need it, and you've got better graphs. Yeah, fair enough.
Better graphs, and I can mess around with it in my email stuff. So worth having a look at if you're and also one of the other things, of course, is you can share your stuff with people that are maybe using not using Runkeeper. So you want to check up some of the other being able to share to different services is also quite useful.
There you go. Great stuff. That's iRunner for iPhone. I might actually throw a couple of picks out there, very, very briefly. Euphloria on iOS, I really enjoyed that just before Christmas. Really enjoyed that game. And I've been really enjoying Triple Town, which I think was also a, I think it's a Facebook app and something else. But it's quite an ingenious little game, which seems basic when you first start playing, but the actual mechanic of it is quite deep when you want to start progressing up the leaderboards. So yeah, so there you go. Two games that you can go check out. Both you can start for free, and I think both have unlock options. One is Euphloria, and one is Triple Town. There you go. Ian, you got anything?
No.
Perfect. Then
I am
pickless. We shall therefore end the podcast there. So thank you very much for listening. And as ever, you can find out information about us on digitaloutbox.com. You can contact us, email info@digitaloutbox.com. We're on Twitter and Skype, Digital Outbox. I am on Twitter as CheesyUK. Henry, where can we find you?
I'm on Twitter as TalkRhubarb.
And if you phone his pie, you can get in his garage. Ian, where can we find you?
I am on Twitter as Shreeper, and the blog is IanDeedOnIt.
Perfecto. Yeah, remember to shut that garage. And we will talk
already
at
done.
You next week. Give you best week. Bye.
Bye bye.
Right, I've got to pretty much leg it.
So did I, because I've needed to pee for the last half hour.
You should have gone. I should really save that
for the outtakes.
But I was.
I need to have a shower. I'm still stinking after a run.
I was just like so convinced, like that you would start quickly. It never happened. I didn't want to say like when she'd actually got going. So I was like, yeah, okay, I'll just cross my legs.
You should be commended on your bladder control. Congratulations.